Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Call into us today for your flu and COVID vaccines at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
So first this morning, a busy day ahead for the government, the Justice Minister and the Garda Commissioner, because at midday, Helen McEntee is set to be in the hot seat for leaders' questions, standing in for the Taoiseach, where the riots are set to dominate. And then at 1:30, the Garda Commissioner, Drew Harris, will be up in front of the Oireachtas Justice Committee. Well, for more, I'm joined on the line by Jack Horgan-Jones, political correspondent with the Irish Times, and I'll also speak to the Labour Party leader, Ivana Bacic, in just a moment. But Jack, first to you. So the Justice Minister is likely to be under real pressure today when she's put in the spotlight at leaders' questions. She's standing in for the Taoiseach. He's at COP, isn't that right?
That's correct. So this would have been arranged well in advance of the disturbances last week, which have led to the current period of pressure and scrutiny on the Minister for Justice and on the Garda Commissioner, Drew Harris. Excuse me. But she's obviously on a rollover, so to speak, because she was up on her feet yesterday for some period of time during a Dáil debate on policing matters, and which was also raised during leaders' questions on Monday. So she will take leaders' questions in Leo Varadkar's stead at midday. And then after that, the focus, as you say, immediately shifts to the man with operational responsibility for the Garda Síochána and for what unfolded, or for the policing response to what unfolded last Thursday, Drew Harris, who was in front of the Justice Committee. There had been a suggestion over the weekend that Helen McEntee would appear alongside him, perhaps on Thursday, but it's not clear when exactly she's going to go to the Justice Committee. So he will be, so to speak, ploughing a lonely furrow, and I think he'll be facing no small degree of scrutiny and no small degree of questioning about several things, really. I suppose, first of all, the overarching strategy that the Gardaí have taken to policing far-right protest events. We've heard so much about this softly-softly approach or the graduated approach, and whether that was the correct approach historically or whether it perhaps contributed to the conditions which saw the events of last Thursday kick off. And then I think there'll be a very clear pressure on Thursday itself, the decisions that were taken, the call for help that went apparently across on WhatsApp, which has been criticised by Garda representative organisations who say that there was no top-down order for that. So I think that's something that's going to be front and centre. So there's risk for him everywhere here.
That's a critical point that you raise, and the GRA mentioned this on primetime last night, that individual members were taking it upon themselves, according to what was alleged last night, to help their colleagues in Dublin because they got those messages on their personal devices through WhatsApp.
Yeah, extraordinary, really, because we had heard, I think, in the Sunday Independent initially about these WhatsApp messages going around. And I think that it looked a little peculiar at the time to imagine that the Garda itself as a force was using a format like WhatsApp to communicate on operational matters. And in the telling of the representative organization on primetime last night, as you say, that wasn't a formal communication, you know, from the top down or from HQ or from operational commanders. They're saying that this was just something organic, something that grew up amongst members themselves in response to presumably the footage they were seeing on social media and the sense that their colleagues in the Dublin metropolitan region were under such pressure, as opposed to something that was a structured response from Garda management, from Garda leadership itself. So I would imagine he'll be called upon to explain that, to say, if that is the case, where was the order from the top? Can you explain the timings of this? Why did it only go out seemingly after 7 p.m? And it just comes back to the point I was making about, you know, both there being this overriding question on strategy, but also the tactics on last Thursday. He'll be under pressure very much on both.
OK, so the Garda Commissioner and the Minister for Justice undoubtedly will be under pressure today at both of those hearings, both in the Dáil and at the Oireachtas Committee. In the midst of all of this, though, Jack, we're seeing these reports that the Gardaí might be able to access private social media networks. This is under certain circumstances in new legislation which is proposed by the Minister for Justice. But you'd wonder how that can work when messages, for example, on WhatsApp are encrypted.
Yeah, exactly. So this has been one of the problems, I think, of policing these types of events. On the one hand, they involve very public calls to action from people involved either on the ground or in the digital space that are designed to be seen publicly and designed to be shared publicly. But on the other, they exist in a kind of shadow world of private messaging apps, either WhatsApp or Telegram. And I think that when it comes to accessing those, and the Minister for Justice yesterday in the Dáil, and it's on the front of the Daily Mail today,
talked about the need for Gardaí to see those private social media. Now, that's all fine and well to kind of make as a policy intent or as a goal, but I think it's significantly more difficult, and tech companies have a history of being perhaps slower to cooperate with these types of requests from policing authorities because they safeguard and put a great degree of emphasis on the security and the privacy of their users. And indeed, some of these platforms, the likes of Telegram, as I understand it, aren't based in the jurisdiction. They have no footprint here as such. They're based overseas. So the regulatory power of the state or any EU state to kind of reach inside and, you know, coerce or compel cooperation from these types of platforms, I think it remains to be seen. So yes, a laudable and, you know, I suppose positive intent from the political system to equip regulators with these powers, but, you know, do they actually have the jurisdiction? Do they have the resources? What kind of logistical effort are we asking new regulators to undertake? These are all the difficult and tricky questions that I suppose remain to be ironed out once the political statement is made.
Jack, just briefly, because we're going to be talking about this in more detail on the programme very shortly, but the government is also facing a big problem when it comes to accommodation for asylum seekers, and that accommodation is due to run out in the coming days again.
Yeah, this is something we picked up on towards the tail end of last week. Some degree of alarm going around official circles about their capacity to accommodate people who are coming here seeking international protection. So it looks like, according to a statement that went out yesterday from the Department of Integration, that they're facing a real risk of effectively turning away people, probably single men in the first instance, who come to this country seeking international protection. And I think that it's hard to get away from, you know, the heightened risk that exists around this already vulnerable set of people in the context of last week. And people have been out talking about this, Nick Henderson from the Irish Refugee Council, and I think the Taoiseach yesterday addressing it. So I think it's one to watch, both in the wider context of what's happening, but obviously in terms of Ireland's, you know, compliance with its obligation and the ongoing massive public policy problem, which is to accommodate now, I believe, more than 100,000 people who have come to the country seeking protection of one form or another.
Jack, thank you very much. Jack Horgan-Jones, and I'm also joined by the Labour Party leader TD Ivana Bacic from our Rock the Studio. Good morning to you and thank you for joining us.
Good morning, Claire. Thank you for inviting me on.
You said in the Dáil yesterday that you don't have confidence in how the government has handled policing, but you also think there has been political play acting and grandstanding in terms of the political response, this coming from, you say, two Fianna Fáil senators.
Well, it's not just from two Fianna Fáil senators. And first of all, Claire, may I just say that uppermost in all our thoughts and minds today, and indeed since Thursday, are those who were so brutally attacked on Parnell Square, those who are still in hospital, a child and a care worker, and indeed those children and their families and communities who were so seriously injured and indeed affected and traumatised by what happened in that awful attack on Thursday. And thinking also of all those affected by the fallout from those devastating riots that then took place in our city centre. And I spoke yesterday in the Dáil to condemn outright the utter violence and mayhem that we saw unleashed on the streets by a small group, certainly mobilised by a small group of far-right agitators. And I called for really, really serious action to be taken now to ensure that we take a stronger position against those far-right agitators who whipped up such disinformation and such hate. And it was appalling for me as a Dubliner, for anyone across the country, not just in Dublin, to watch our streets burning on Thursday night and to see such a breakdown of law and order. So certainly we don't have confidence in policing.
So who are you saying is grandstanding and political play acting?
Well, we saw, I think, unfortunately, a knee-jerk call, not just from some in opposition, but also across the weekend from some in government, including many in Fianna Fáil, calling for resignations, calling for heads to roll. In the Labour Party, we have been calling out failures on policing, all of government failures on policing now, for some time, because we've seen consistently a failure to resource the Gardaí, a triple crisis of morale at rock bottom within the Gardaí, a crisis in recruitment, not enough guards being recruited, and a crisis in retention, leading to a lack of visible Garda presence on our streets. Couple that with a failure by government to tackle the growth of the far right, and that has led to that perfect storm that we saw erupt so devastatingly on Thursday night. So look, we don't have confidence in the guards. We do have confidence in the guards. We don't have confidence in the management, the political oversight of policing in Ireland, and we hold the government to account for that. What we don't think has been helpful is the sort of, you know, shouting from the the sidelines by people calling for immediate resignations. What we need is serious political and operational accountability. I'm very glad
just to be really clear, yeah. The Labour Party does not believe that this situation would be helped by the resignation of the Minister for Justice.
Not now. We certainly think that there are very serious questions to be answered by the Minister, by her government and by the Commissioner. Questions about failures in the allocation of resources by all of government, including Fianna Fáil, and questions about the operational deployment of tactics. Questions about the issues that are now emerging. Why did Gardaí have to go home to collect riot gear? Why was there not sufficient training on proportionate use of force? It's simply not credible that the policing authority are now being asked to advise on what should have been made very clear to guards during training. And may I pay tribute to the Gardaí on the streets seeking to preserve order, seeking to maintain order. I spoke to many of them on Friday when I was on O'Connell Street myself, and huge tribute and commendation to them for their courage and bravery. We've absolute confidence in the Gardaí, but we need to see accountability at the top, and we need to see accountability across all of government.
Okay, but when you hear on primetime last night, I'm sure you've heard about it if you didn't see it yourself, the GRA saying that the members who went to Dublin to support their colleagues, some of them went because they were contacted by those colleagues on WhatsApp. I mean, do you still support the Garda Commissioner, having heard that?
We have no confidence in the management of policing in this country, and we've been calling out the failures at Garda Commissioner level, failures by the Minister of Justice, and failures at government level. And we were appalled to hear, and indeed I'd heard it before last night from guards that I know and that my colleagues know, that they were getting WhatsApp messages all around the country calling them to Dublin to assist colleagues. That's simply a chaotic way to run a policing service and to run the policing of our capital city, and it's really of grave concern to us that that is how it's run, that effectively Dublin is being policed on overtime. We know just how little Garda presence there is visibly on our streets. Indeed, I wrote to the Commissioner myself some months ago seeking assurance from him that there would be more deployment of Gardaí on the streets and that there would be more investment in community Gardaí in particular. We're seeing a really serious drop off in Garda numbers, seeing numbers fall below 14,000 in the force at a time when the government committed to go to above 15,000.
But so you agree with the Taoiseach that if the Garda Commissioner were to resign, that would be a win for the far-right groups who organise this, at least in part.
What we want to see, Claire, is the questions that we and everyone around the country have answered. We want to know what caused the failures on Thursday night. We have a clear view.
But you seem to know what those answers are.
We have a clear view that they were caused by that double failure of a failure to tackle the far right and a failure to resource the Gardaí adequately. But we do also need, and we've called for a review by the policing inspectorate on this, the Gardaí inspectorate, we do also need to know the answers to those questions that you and Jack were just discussing. Why were guards having to be called up by WhatsApp message? Why was there not sufficient training on the use of force? Why did guards have to go home to get public order gear that should have been stored in stations? So these are the specific questions that we need to get answered urgently so that we can have the sort of political and indeed operational accountability that we're calling for.
So Annette Cunningham was on this programme yesterday from the Association of Garda Sergeants and Inspectors. She said that the Gardaí are in fear of GSOC, the Ombudsman Commission. They're afraid to use legitimate and proportionate force. They're afraid, she said, to use their batons when they're faced with situations like last week. Now, the Ombudsman came out and refuted those claims. But what's your response to that?
Well, certainly what we're hearing from Gardaí all around the country is concerns about huge delays in GSOC investigations and investigations by the Garda Síochána Ombudsman Commission, delays that are causing huge stress to individual Gardaí, but that is just one part of a culture of appallingly low morale. And indeed, Antoinette Cunningham has been to the fore in pointing that out in recent times. But we've heard it from across the country from Gardaí, who are seeing a lack of leadership from the top. And Claire, may I say, it's symptomised, it's evidenced by the fact that we've now heard that the policing authority is being asked to give advice and clarity on rules around use of force. This is a complete red herring. And we don't know, for example, whether the Commissioner or indeed the Minister asked the policing authority to do this. But in any case, this is not their function.
Do you believe that GSOC should be an oversight body in the form of a retired judge, perhaps, which is what the AGSI suggest, that might help?
Well, look, there was huge political support for the creation of GSOC, and it was brought about in 2015 as a result of a huge overarching reform of the Garda Síochána, of oversight of governance within the Gardaí. So it's very important that we have indeed GSOC, the policing authority.
But should there be oversight by a retired judge?
I think the GSOC powers need to be conducted efficiently. I think that's the key point. It's important that we have an oversight body. In fact, Claire, we had originally called for one ombudsman rather than a commission, as we saw with Nuala O'Loan when the PSNI were being reformed in Northern Ireland, that might have been a preferable model. But I think the GSOC model does need to be... What we need to do is look at how GSOC are operating their oversight functions. I think that's the issue. But we also, crucially, need to look at the issue of morale in the Gardaí within an Garda Síochána. Why are not guards in training being paid a fuller amount? Who is going to want to enter the Gardaí with such low morale issues? We've seen record numbers of resignations and early retirements this year. These are the issues that absolutely need to be tackled urgently. We need assurances from the Minister and the Taoiseach that this has been done.
One final question. There were calls at the Fine Gael Parliamentary Party meeting last night that people involved in the riots should have their social welfare payments taken away if they are in receipt of those payments. What do you think?
Well, what I think, as somebody who practiced criminal law for many years, is that there are very very clear sentencing powers in place under the public order legislation. This offence of riot, for example, carries a 10-year maximum sentence. So there are sentencing powers available to the judiciary, and I think they need to be used effectively to ensure that we don't ever see the sort of awful, awful scenes that we saw with our streets burning last Thursday night. People put in fear, businesses, ordinary people trying to go about their business.
But you don't support any moves in that direction, is that what you're saying?
What I think is we need to see the existing sentencing powers deployed effectively, and that's crucial. But crucially, Claire, we need to see investigations and prosecutions. We've seen just over 30 arrests. We understand that there are more coming, and we need to see action taken against those who agitate on social media and indeed in other platforms to whip up the sort of disinformation and hate that we've seen, not just in Dublin, but in Leitrim. We've seen it around the country, and it has to be called out and it has to be challenged. Okay. And our representatives are doing that around the country.
All right, Ivana Bacic, Labour Party leader, thank you for joining us from our Oireachtas studio. Well, Ivana Bacic mentioned Leitrim, and there is community unrest in that county over plans to house 155 people in a former hotel. More on that next.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.